heart it beats for you, precious Jesus. I'm deep in love with you, Lord.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to the RDM Radio Show. We're back again, and we're going deeper in Revelations and Mysteries, discussing the topic to do with life after death, you know. But we're not just talking about life after death, we're also talking about this life in the time realm, but also pre-existence, before you came into this realm. What were you doing? How does that inform your life within this time realm? And how does that translate into the life after? Because we know that we have assignments, we have activities, we have missions, we have things that we are going to do, responsibilities, you know, all these things we have been discussing in previous sessions, and we're just going to go deeper and deeper therein. But before we pick it up from our last discussion, let's address some of the questions. In case you missed it, you're listening to Derek Muhirwa, also known as the priest, and I'm with the rabbi. So let me share some of the questions that were asked on the app, the RDM app. If you don't have it, please download it on Google App Store or the Apple Store. So question number one came, I'm keeping names anonymous. So question number one says that, Rabbi, please go deeper on the topic of reincarnation. And then they ask a second question. Same person asks, and they're like, you mentioned something as regards to different versions of self. Please shed more light. So another person also asked a question, and it says that, if deja vus are a function of the spirit remembering, because we discussed about memory, and we said that the body has memory, the soul has memory, and also the spirit has memory. So he's asking that, if deja vus are a function of the spirit remembering, how is it that non-believers have such experiences as well? You know, and yet their spirits are dead or dormant. So let me allow the rabbi to take this on and answer these questions.
So for the topic of, for the issue of reincarnation, we'll touch that at a later date, because it's a whole other topic of itself.
All right.
Then soon I'll also be sharing on the different phases and stages of the human life.
Okay.
So I'll answer the question on the deja vu. The understanding is that once a man is not connected to God, he's dead in spirit. But it does not mean that he's dead to the spirit world.
All right.
Because the Bible says he has set eternity in the hearts of men. It's because men are not dead to the spirit world that they can dream, they can have deja vus, they can see certain aspects of the spirit, they can sense things that are unseen, because they are primarily spiritual beings.
Okay.
So being a spiritual being means that even if your spirit is dead, you still have access to that world.
Okay.
So I hope that answers that question.
Yeah, that does. That does. I believe that the issue there was just the misunderstanding of what death really means, spiritual death. It is not being dormant. It is just being disconnected from God. Yeah. So because they are alive, they are still animated and allowed to function in the realm of the spirit, they also have access to these experiences. So yes, that does answer quite well.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and continue from where we stopped in the last session. Do you remember where we stopped?
Yeah, we talked about the different stages of life. We talked about purpose. We talked about books. We talked about how life is scripted, you know. And so you also have choice. So what are the boundaries of even choice, you know? Some things, predestination.
So we touched a number of things, and in essence, we're talking about life before birth.
Yes.
So now there's a lot in there, but I want to transition to life after death to get to the heart of the question that was asked.
All right.
Yeah. So I want to transition to life after death, and what we're going to focus on, I'm going to do this in parts. First, I want to talk about death generally. Then we shall go, we shall move on to the death of a believer, then the death of an unbeliever.
Okay.
And I think that will wrap up. Of course, maybe I'll have to, at a certain point, touch things like reincarnation, and there are many things. I don't know I'll be able to touch everything. Yeah. But that will be the trajectory within which we move.
All right.
So today, based on that level of reasoning, we start with death, generally. Now, there are three dimensions of death. There is death, the event. The Bible says it is appointed for each man to die once, and then thereafter, judgment.
Judgment.
There's death, the event. We'll talk about that in a moment. There is death, the entity. As scripture says, death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. Then scripture goes on to say, O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy sting? Mm. Or was it, O death, where is thy sting?
Where is thy sting?
Yeah. Yes. And grave, where is thy victory?
Mm.
He's talking to an entity.
Okay.
Then finally, there is the dimension of death that is a realm. It's the realm of death. Okay?
Okay.
That is the realm that death, the entity, has control over. When a person dies and they are not in Christ, they go to the realm of death. They realize at that point that there is a death after the death that is transition in this life.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
They encounter the true death. Okay? Now, 1 Kings.
Okay.
Chapter 2, verse 2. David said something. Wisdom, and he's not the only one who said it.
1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. It says, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses.
Okay.
Yeah.
First part, read it again.
I go the way of all the earth.
So, he's referring to death here. And it is the way of all the earth. And he's not the only one who says it. At some point, other saints in scripture say it.
Yes.
It's referred to as the way of all the earth. Now, this is very, very important. That the moment Adam sinned, before he sinned, there was a different law that attained to all the earth. It was referred to as the law of life. And now, after he sinned, the way of all the earth became the way of death. Okay. Now, notice when he says all the earth, he's not referring to men. Just trees die, animals die. It's the way of all the earth.
All the earth.
So everything dies.
True.
And so, I'm going to say a number of things, but we'll see. And so, to exit out of this world, unless you're alive when the Christ is around, is returning, or you're alive during the rapture, when the rapture happens, this is the way of all men. It's the way of all earth, that men die and live.
Okay.
Now, we don't know if other realms that were created by God, death had touched them.
Interesting.
We don't know. Okay? I'm not, because this is the realm of earth. This is the realm of men.
Okay.
But we know that before Adam, that tentacle of death did not exist in this realm.
Okay.
Something brought both the being, the event, and the potency of that realm onto this earth. Okay? Now, from the time of Adam, the strength of death has increased. The strength and the influence of death has increased upon men. We see it in the fact that even after Adam had died, he lived 900 and something years old.
Yeah.
And as time kept on going, the age began to reduce. Meaning the potency of death
was taking More influence.
Yes. And as we know, things are decaying faster. In fact, the Bible even says the heavens wax old.
Yeah.
Okay? So the death has influence over everything that is connected to the realm of men, including the skies and the first heavens, the second heavens. And so everything is decaying at a faster rate. Some things faster than others.
Okay.
But everything is dying.
Yeah.
And so we reach a point in scripture where it says, by reason of strength, a man might die at 80. What scripture is that? Psalms 90 verse 10. You can read it for me.
Okay. Psalms 90 and verse 10. It reads, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it's, you can see now the time frames have reduced. Eh?
Yeah.
That men live on this earth. That the potency of death will be increased. Now when the Antichrist comes, we'll see a certain dimension of the influence of that spirit here on earth that we have not seen before. The Bible says in those days men will look for death and fail to find it. It's a very different kind of influence, which I don't want to touch here. But it's a different thing altogether. Now, just like birth is an entry into this world, death is an exit out of this world.
Yeah.
I've told you that there is an entity called death. But what many people do not know is that before you come into this realm where death has some sort of rule, there is in scripture an angel of death. Now this thing is because the question I would ask you is the angel of death a demonic angel? Or a divine angel?
Oh. it's a tricky question to answer, because if we look at the reference of the Passover, you know, and the references made towards that event, you realize that yes, it's the angel of death. But then again, in some references, it's like they're saying God is passing over. You know, and he's not taking the firstborn, because they mentioned that God is undertook the firstborn of all Egypt. Yeah. But you tell us.
I don't think I'll tell you. But what I'll say is this. I'll say with this. That each realm has its representative of death.
Okay.
There's one of the divine.
Okay.
And one of the demonic.
That's very interesting, Rabbi. I've always been curious to the fact that are there two angels representing both sides? And how does that also, you know, what's the dynamic given that a third of the angels fell away? So two thirds were left.
We're going to end up talking about angels, which I don't want. But what I also need you to understand is that before you come into this earth, we think our spirits are just sent, but there are levels of protocol.
Okay, you don't just come.
It's the reason why no spirit can just enter the realm of men by will. And one of those levels of protocol, and I really hesitate to say this, but one of those levels of protocol is that death must permit you.
Wow. You need a pass slip from death.
I wish I could. I'll hopefully, as we go on, we'll talk about this.
Okay.
But no man enters this realm. You see how Jesus, it says he came to die.
Yes.
Yeah? Because this place is not our home as it is. It's just an avenue by which we pass through.
Yeah.
And so you must have been sent. You must have an assignment, and there must be a point to which you leave. Unless you are in that generation that will be around when the Christ returns. So I say one of the protocols is that death must permit you.
All right.
to enter.
Okay.
Okay. Mm. Now let's stick to the Bible in case people eat me. Now there's a link between death and sleep.
Yeah.
The scriptures say they compare them. Mm. Jesus said of the young girl that had died. Mm. He said she's not sleeping. Dead, she's sleeping.
Yeah, same for Lazarus.
And same for Lazarus. That it seems that when the spirit of a person is still within the realm of men, that person is not dead.
Okay.
Now please understand that we go through stages when we die. From the physical perspective, you're pronounced dead when you're clinically dead, which is your mind has stopped working. It's not when your heart stops. Okay. It's when your brain is dead. That's when they call you clinically dead. So the heart could still be functioning.
Okay.
But medically, you're gone.
Okay.
Okay? That's body. So you're pronounced dead from a scientific perspective that way.
Mm.
Then you go through stages. Your body changes color. Your blood begins to clot. Mm. All that.
Mm.
Now, from a spiritual perspective, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 6 and 7. Let's read it.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. It reads and says, "Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it."
Okay. Now, it says the silver cord be broken. Eh?
Yes.
So there is something called the silver cord, and we all know now that you and I, and every other human being, is able to walk this earth without their spirit jumping out of their body, because something keeps the spirit in the body. Because if you are to navigate the process of death, the moment someone dies, the spirit leaves. What was keeping the spirit in the body during the time they were walking? It's not the heartbeat.
Mm.
It's not the brain. Mm. Those are all scientific.
Okay.
It's the spiritual cord. Now, the dynamics of the silver cord, the dynamics of the silver cord are different for whoever you ask.
Mm.
But we know that, one, the silver cord is elastic. Because when a man goes out of his body, has an out-of-body experience, the only reason he's able to come back is because the silver cord is still attached to his body. It's still attached to his body.
Mm.
It's the thing that, it's like how an umbilical cord is attached to, attaches the baby to the mother.
Yes.
So in the same way, the silver cord attaches the spirit
to the
body of a man. Now, it could be one of two ways. Either it's just the spirit attached to the body, or it's actually a cord that wraps itself even around the body and the soul and the spirit. And we know the Bible says a threefold cord cannot easily be broken.
Okay.
That all three are tied together.
Okay.
And they become one. Mm. So when you're walking on this earth, they're immovable. Now when a person dies, it snaps. And when it snaps, there's a separation from the body and the spirit lives and cannot return to this realm. And we'll talk about how when that spirit leaves, it doesn't just go to heaven or hell.
Mm.
That there are silent stages. Levels, there are stages.
Yeah.
Now, so that spirit leaves. We know that it's elastic because when a person gets out of their body, they come back.
Mm.
That means it hasn't snapped yet. Okay. We also know it's magnetic because it's kind of like a zoop.
It's a recoil. Eh?
Yeah, it's a recoil. You're pulled back into the body. Zoop. Mm. Yeah. So it's magnetic in that sense. Now, death and sleep are relatives. In fact, they're almost the same thing. The difference is that with sleep, you dream.
Okay.
Okay? Mm. Now, death has its version of what you call dreaming, in the sense that when someone dies, if they are a believer, the equivalent of someone sleeping and having a nice dream will be the equivalent of a believer dying and having a good after experience.
Okay.
and the equivalent of someone sleeping and having a nightmare.
Okay.
Is the same for the non-believer dying and having their experience.
Okay,
does that make sense? Eh?
Yeah.
So that's how they're related, in the sense that it's in the sense of death and sleep. And so why in many instances that when someone's spirit leaves their body and they have quote unquote died, they don't totally leave this realm right away.
Okay.
And from studying scripture, you understand that when the spirit of a man is still within the realm of men, that spirit can still be called back.
Interesting.
Now, it takes a certain type of person, even after the spirit has gone, to call that spirit back.
Not anyone can
call it. Because Jesus waited 4 days for Lazarus. Because there was a belief in that time that the spirit of a man still hovered after he had died for 3 days. So he waited 4.
Just to prove a point.
That if now the spirit is gone, I can still what? I can still summon him back. So you have to understand, it's important to be very well versed and knowing why he did certain things the way he did them.
Yeah.
Okay? And then this young girl, he says she's not sleeping. And because, but there were people during the time of Jesus, when they died, they were dead. He would have gone around resurrecting everyone.
Okay. So even he knew the dynamics.
Yeah, he would know the dynamics. He would know this one is sleeping. This one is gone.
Yeah.
And they could be gone for a number of reasons. One, it is appointed for each man to die once. That means the cycle of the day of their death had come.
Okay. The appointment had reached. Yeah.
Had reached. So they are gone.
Okay.
And according to heaven's book, it's done.
Okay.
But there are people who die before their time. For various reasons. And there are people who live past.
That's funny. The Bible says a fool dies before his time.
Yes, it says the fool. So a person can die before their time because of foolishness. Let's go through them.
Okay.
You can elongate or prolong your life here on earth. The Bible says, honor your father and mother.
Yeah.
So and you shall have long life.
Yeah.
Why? Because they are the avenue by which life is given to you here on earth. And so when you honor that vessel that God has used to give you life, the gift is longer life.
You get
what I'm saying? Yeah?
Yeah.
There are avenues. If you look through the Bible, it says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Touching an anointed of God can reduce your life here on earth. I'm telling you. And this is why people don't, they just like throwing around. Even in the time of grace, there are people who die before their time because they said or touched someone they shouldn't have.
Feels like David knew that principle. That's why, like, why are you not afraid?
Yeah.
You know, and he would take your life.
And you see, in relation to that also, the Bible says, when Paul was persecuting the church, Jesus shows up and says, are you not afraid? Why do you
kick against the pricks?
Do you know that if Paul had not heeded the instruction of the Christ, he would have died sooner? You just look at the warning Jesus gave him.
Yeah.
So if you attack the church of God, your life is shortened.
The Bible says that it counts it a righteous thing to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you.
Yes. You see? Eh? So these particular aspects, their place here, that you can die before your time, you can die on time, you can outlive your time frame. And I personally believe there are people currently walking this earth who have not yet died. And for various reasons, they've captured immortality.
Okay.
And they have purposes that God has given them, and so on and so forth. Like when he turned to John and said, he said, if I want him,
if you tarry till I come,
what is it to you? And of course, the scripture goes on to say, and they said that he will not die. He says, but that's not what he said. But there are very many dimensions by which we can interpret that scripture, and today I won't go into that. But there are people who are walking this earth.
Mm.
Now, Psalms 116.
Okay, Psalms 116.
Verse 15, I believe.
It reads and says, Psalms 116, verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Okay. So it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That means there's a difference between the death of the righteous and the death of an unbeliever. The two are not the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In Numbers 23:10, Balaam, the prophet, says something that I find interesting.
Okay. Numbers 23, verse 10.
Hmm.
Says, who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like this.
Read it like a man of God. Huh?
Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like this.
So, there is a death of the righteous. It's not the same way.
All right.
You see, now, from the physical perspective, we all think, you know, you see people dying.
Mm.
Eh? We do not die the same way. Even the processes.
Mm.
Eh?
Mm.
From the physical, they look the same. But from the spiritual, they're not the same.
Okay.
That's why, to the saints, it says how precious is the death of the saints, one of his saints, in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah.
But let me show you. Abigail says something. Remember Abigail?
Yes, Abigail, David's wife.
Yeah. 1 Samuel 25, verse 29.
1 Samuel, verse 29?
Mm. 25:29.
It reads and says, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out, as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee.
Is that verse 29? Read only verse 29.
Okay, only verse 29. It says, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out, as out of the middle of a sling.
So, she's describing by revelation what actually happens to an unbeliever's soul, or an enemy. She calls them the enemy.
Mm.
That their souls are slung. It's like you die and you're falling.
Mm.
I want you to understand it. That's not how a believer dies.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And he says, the soul, and the word, the Bible is clear. It says, the souls of thy enemies, they are slung like one from a sling.
Yeah.
And it's one dimension of how an unbeliever soul leaves this earth.
Okay.
It's falling. But not just falling like you'd fall off a building. It's falling like you're being slung.
Catapulted out of your body. Yeah.
Okay? It is freaky.
Wow.
Now, I've gone ahead of myself because we'll touch in detail what the death of an unbeliever and the death of a righteous. But I'm trying to show you just in general.
Yeah.
The Bible perception on death.
Yeah,
okay?
Between unbelievers and believers.
Mm. There's a friend of mine a couple of years ago, actually, who told me this story in the US. There was a group there was a school that was preparing to go for a mission in another state. And they got one of these small planes.
Okay.
They boarded it to about 25 students on there going to preach the gospel.
Okay.
And so as the plane took off and was flying to the next state, something happened and it malfunctioned.
Okay.
Now, when it malfunctioned, it began to fall from the sky.
free fall.
Now, when it began to fall, the believers inside, I'm going to tell you how I know this, the believers inside the plane began to hold hands and pray in tongues.
Mm.
Father, please, save us, save us.
Mm.
And they would pray in tongues, pray in tongues.
Mm.
And one of them led them into that, was directing them. Now, you want to imagine, a plane is falling. You could be screaming, you could be what? But it depends on what kind of, because if you, you know, it's like if you've been in a dangerous situation, some people scream, others go straight to prayer, depending on that.
There's a reflex.
There's a reflex.
Yeah.
The type of person that you've been.
Yeah.
So they began to pray in tongues. Now, of that plane crash, one person survived. One.
Wow.
Now, this is how the person told the story.
Okay.
They said, so the pastor's daughter, the church that had sent these kids to do the mission, the pastor's daughter was on that plane. And this guy who survived was telling the pastor what happened on the plane.
Okay.
And he said when it began to fall, his daughter told everyone to start praying in tongues.
Mm.
And so as they were praying, the plane is falling.
Mm.
And just before it hit, this guy who was talking said he saw everyone slump into their seats.
Mm.
Except him.
Wow.
So it's like their spirits had been taken
before
the impact.
The crash, yeah.
And this is why I need you to understand
that
the death of a saint is not
the same.
From the physical, it looks like it's the same, but it's not the same.
Wow. Wow. It's rough for the unbeliever.
It's rough for the unbeliever.
They almost drag you, catapult you.
I would show you that the parts of scripture that talk about that. Where it talks about turmoil, wrath for the non-believer.
Mm.
It's a bad experience. So first of all, they will feel all the pain that they go through. Okay? Then second of all, even when they're out of the body, it just continues and it's multiplied.
Wow. Wow.
You see, it's interesting that in the book of Luke, it doesn't tell us... I don't know if I should go into this, but it doesn't tell us how the rich man was transitioned.
Mm.
It just says Lazarus, the angels picked him, and then it says Lazarus was, the rich man was buried.
Just buried.
He was just buried.
Mm.
And I think Jesus was saving us.
The horror of
the process. He didn't want to focus on the darkness.
Mm.
But something happened in there. There was a way in which he ended up in his destination. And we'll talk about that when we reach the death of an unbeliever.
Mm.
And so, you see, this is how precious, oh Lord, is the death of one of your saints. Now, on earth, someone can be sick and they're going through things. A believer can be sick.
Mm.
They could be in a sick bed. Maybe they had cancer. You're seeing them going through all this pain.
Mm.
But when it comes to a point of transition, there's a difference. They don't die in pain. I don't know if I'm trying to make myself. I've had a lot of stories of believers dying in hospitals.
Mm.
And someone will say, we'll start talking to no one.
Mm.
You know, that's right in the room.
Mm.
People can't see them.
Mm.
They've switched from the pain to something altogether, especially if they're deeply rooted in God.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. And this is an encouragement for anyone who has lost someone.
Yeah.
Huh? That the death of the saint is precious. There's a man of God, I won't mention his name, a famous politician in this country here in Uganda, asked to see a man of God 6 months before he died. This guy was bedridden somewhere in suburbs of Kampala. He had cancer. And when he asked for the man of God to pray for him, the man of God drove to his house to pray for this politician. And the man of God told this story. He said, as I walked in, because this politician was a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
He said, as I walked in, I saw people slumped around him. He was at the point of death, and he was, you could see he was sickly, and people were crying, mourning. It was a mournful environment.
Mm.
But from the side of the Spirit, the angels were waiting to receive him.
Wow.
There was glory around him. And the man of God said, if he had seen what was around him, he would not ask. Because he had called for the man of God to ask for more time.
Oh, wow.
More time. And so the man of God laid hands on him, prayed for him, and he lived 6 more months. But he said, if only this guy knew what was around him at that point.
Wow. There was a delegation from heaven.
You see, how precious is the death of one of his saints. So it's not the same thing.
Wow, that's very interesting. That's very interesting.
There's another story. You put me in story mood. A guy who I think it was the man of God, Prophet Elvis, who told the story when one time he was praying in his house, and I think it was either a house help or someone was sleeping in the nearby room. And then he sensed something was wrong.
Okay.
And the person was a Muslim, wasn't a believer. So he walks to go to the room, and this person had been sleeping in the room, but he died. So the person sleeping in the room died. Prophet Elvis was in the sitting room, senses something is wrong, goes to the room, and sees a portal, and a demon was dragging the guy's soul inside that dark portal, and the guy was screaming.
Wow. Wow.
Now, and so the man of God began to pray, and the demon released the guy, and the spirit got back into the body. The guy got born again instantly.
Wow. Wow.
Now, we could go on. There's another story of another man of God who was trying who had gone for mission somewhere, and found a group of Muslims, and a Muslim was dying. There's a Muslim amongst them was on deathbed, and a group of Muslims had surrounded him, and they were praying their prayers, and this guy was on the sick bed, could see a light coming from the man of God. And he tried to tell those people, let the man of God
through,
come through. But religion was at the forefront of things. And the man of God tried to get in to get the guy to accept Jesus.
Yeah.
The guy wanted,
but
his people could not allow him.
Hey.
So I want you to imagine that kind of...
Your deliverance is before you, but religion has fortified the walls.
So imagine how many people have been stopped by that.
I can imagine.
How precious is the death of one of your saints?
Saints, true.
Huh? In the eyes of the Lord. So I hope
the scripture, it's in relation to alcohol, but I feel like it's similar to the death experience, because it talks about how alcohol will mock you. So while you're dealing with it, you know, and beholding its beauty in the cup, I would assume this is an unbeliever in life, disregarding, you know, God and purpose. You know, there is sweetness to that whole experience. But once you transition off to the other side, it just mocks you, because you're the one falling in trenches, you're the one with wounds, you know. You probably get knocked or robbed. All bad things are just, you're totally exposed at that point. You know, but you are in tango dancing together before, but when the transition happens, it just mocks you, it laughs at you.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you see, the thing is that the way the spirit world sees age here on earth is different from the way we see it. In the sense that a person could have an appointed death, like Jesus died at 33, and they say he died young. From the natural, they'll say he died young. But heaven doesn't see it like that. He has lived the life that he's supposed to live here on earth. Okay? So it's the fullness of time concerning him. Whether someone died young, you can die at 90 and you are supposed to die at 100 and something. And you've died too early. You've died young.
According to heaven.
From a spiritual perspective. Yeah. So let's not use natural perspectives concerning these things.
Yeah.
Now, I want to bring out something. Ecclesiastes 12, you're going to read this verse 7 again.
Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. 8 reads and says, then shall the dust return to the earth.
Now, here's what happens. That the moment, what I'm going to bring out here is important. That the moment someone dies, the law there is that the dust returns to the earth.
Okay.
It is the law.
Yeah.
Then the spirit returns
to God who gave it.
To God who gave it.
Yeah.
And this will touch into what we were talking about last time when we said that the spirit of a man goes to God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah? Now, the part I want to focus on is the fact that it says that the dust returns to the earth.
Yeah.
This is such an important factor. Mm. That there are people whose bodies remain in morgues.
Mm-hmm.
There are people whose bodies, the body does not return to dust.
Yeah.
And that's partly the reason why some spirits remain here.
Okay. Interesting.
Now, I hesitate, but it's what I'm telling you is true.
Yeah.
That the law is when the first process is that the dust must return to dust, then the spirit returns to the Lord.
Mm. Okay.
That's the process. Mm. Okay? And that's why you'll find a scripture says that the rich man was buried. Then.
Yeah, then he transitioned.
Okay? And the reason I believe it doesn't say Lazarus was buried is because he probably had no one
to bury him.
To bury him.
Okay.
Okay? But the process of death is that dust must return
to dust.
To dust.
To the earth.
Remember when Jesus dies? Okay?
Yeah.
Actually, before he dies, he's on the cross and he says, Father, I commit my spirit unto you. But then, he descends.
Into the lower parts of the earth.
Then when he ascends, actually he doesn't ascend, he resurrects. Then he says, do not touch me for I am yet to ascend. But yet at the cross he said, I commit my spirit.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Now, notice he says, do not touch me for I am yet to ascend. The reason he could not yet ascend is because now for him is different because he's a precursor of what it's supposed to be like at the resurrection, that he got a new body.
Yeah.
Okay. So when he descended, his body was still
in the tomb.
In the tomb. Okay, and he could not ascend to the Father because in essence dust must return
to dust.
To dust. Yeah. But in his case, it was a new body altogether.
Okay.
Okay, then he
could ascend.
Then he could ascend. Now, there are things that keep that. One of those things is the failure. I'm not even talking about burying. For a body to return to dust, and there are a number of things people don't understand, that spirits are looking for bodies, alive or not. How do we know that? Because the devil was asking for Moses' body.
Yeah. It was that contention with Angel Michael.
Oh. You see?
Yeah.
And I assure you, that one of the ways in the last days that the Antichrist will perform miracles is by using bodies that supposedly had been left behind by people. And something else will enter.
Wow.
And it will be shown as a resurrection.
So even the bodies that he's after are particular bodies.
Yeah, particular ones.
We could say that Elisha's body would have been one that he sought after also, given the fact that it still had the potency of life and power within it, even though the man had been thrown in the pit. Yeah.
So dust must return
to dust.
I'm telling you, that's why certain, it's one reason why there are certain spirits that hover around. Now, the reason why they believed that a spirit hovered around for a few days is because the body started decomposing after those days. The dust to dust process
was happening.
So then it can it can take off. This is the reason why I tell you that some things remain
within the vicinity of the earth.
Yeah. And also, and it's not really, I really, a person can be gone, but a portion of them can still be left here on earth. It's almost like a, what we call dual existence. Where the energy and the manner in which they died created such trauma that a portion of them still is still here.
Okay.
It's an energy thing.
That's because of the way it's attached to the consciousnesses of men.
Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
So it could be, and I'm really getting myself, so either the body has not returned to dust, the manner in which a person dies, okay, or an unfinished piece of work, that even though a spirit has gone, there's a portion of that person's consciousness that can still manifest itself in this world. And until maybe a person is buried, until a particular thing is dealt with, that energy, it's not necessarily the person, the energy is still
around,
and it can manifest itself in people, in things, and in places.
Those are the incidences of people who are supposed to have, you know, gone, because we assume they died. They manifest and they are giving instruction of, by the way, you know, there is this paper here, there is this book here.
And you see, I've told people enough times that in scripture, the Bible, what does it say? Jesus never corrects the disciples. When he was walking on water, they said it's a ghost. He did not say ghosts did not exist. Okay? He shows up in their room in the middle of nowhere after he has resurrected. And they say it's a ghost. He says a ghost does not have flesh and blood. Okay? Now, the rendering there is spirit. But they're referring to someone who died and they're still around. That's what they're referring to.
Okay.
They're not referring to a spirit demon. They're referring to someone who died and is still around.
Wow. Eh?
And he says, a ghost or whatever rendering, spirit, does not have flesh and bone. He doesn't say those things don't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
Because believe you me, they exist.
Yeah.
They are there for various reasons. There are people and cultures that will conjure up the spirits of people to ensure that they stay around. Okay? They will do something, they will do some ritual things, and they would have sold the person's soul to a spirit. Okay? And there are things, and I really don't want to go, because no one needs to know that. If you're born again, you don't need to know how they do those things. But there are rituals that can be done to keep the semblance of someone's being floating around.
Is this the equivalent of familiar spirits?
Yeah. Okay, so there are different types of familiar spirits. There are familiar spirits that are demonic, and those are the majority.
Okay.
Then there are familiar spirits that are spirits that existed here on earth, walked amongst men, but are still walking the earth.
Oh. Okay.
Now, if we knew that this world that we're living in has more spiritual beings than we...
Spiritual population is higher than
higher than we can perceive. They say there are 7 billion human beings on the face of this earth. Of those 7 billion, a large percentage of them are not human. A large section of them are not human. Why? Because to be labeled as man... You must be born of a woman. That's one. Okay? Number two, you must have a spirit, soul, and body.
Okay.
Very, very important. Even if we just use those two. Now, there are beings on this earth who are born of woman that do not have spirit, soul, body, because the spirit comes from God.
Okay.
Okay? So, they are born here illegally.
Okay.
They will take the semblance of a human being. But they don't have a soul.
Hey. Okay.
They don't have a soul. The human soul.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, animals have souls and what? They don't have the human soul.
Okay.
So they walk the face of this earth looking like that, but they are not. Some come from the sea. Mm. Some come. I would show you that the Bible talks about, we're digressing a bit, but there are beings that are on the earth, there are beings in the earth, and there are beings under the earth. And it's all scripture.
Yeah.
For another day.
Yes, yes.
Okay? So on is us. Mm. Plus the others who are masquerading. In. Mm. There are beings in the earth. Mm. And there are beings
under
the earth. And the same thing is on the with the sea. There are scriptures that talk about on the sea.
Mm.
And in the sea.
Mm.
So you must understand that we are many.
Mm. Wow.
Okay, I need to get on with this because I've digressed a bit. So, the human being, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. Then we'll wind up,
Okay. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6.
6 to 7,
Okay, 6 to 7. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he may show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
So what I need you to understand is that human beings are on a progression, and this is where we'll touch it in the next session. They're on a progression.
Okay.
Before us there were ages.
Okay.
Romans chapter 1 talks about ages past. We are in the present age.
Okay.
Mm. But there are ages to come, multiple.
Mm.
That's what people need to understand. That in those ages to come, he'll do what? Read it. Ephesians 2:6.
2:6.
Hmm?
It reads and says that, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he may show exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us
okay.
in Christ
Jesus. So in ages to come, multiple ages, that's when we're going to be shown what grace we have been shown.
Mm.
That's when we're going to be read it again. It's such a powerful scripture.
Verse 7 says that in the ages to come he may show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus.
So we're going to be shown the exceeding riches of his grace, not just in the next age,
but in the ages
to come. And he's referring to, when he says of his grace, he's referring to that grace shown to us when Jesus died on the cross. Yeah. So this stuff of we're saying, grace allows us to sin, grace allows us, you're looking so myopic because it's going to take ages
to reveal
the exceeding riches of that grace.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay? Which then means that we are on a progression of learning that even after we leave this earth, we shall continue to learn things.
Mm.
That's why the Bible says, John 17:3, it says, to know God is eternal life.
Yes.
And since God cannot be fully known, your eternal life is an eternal experience. You're constantly
learning. But this time you're coming to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes. Okay? And you see, when Paul says, now we see, we see in part, we prophesy in part, we know in part, then shall we be known even as we are known.
Mm.
Okay? He's not talking about the moment you die, you know, you'll be known as you know. That's what Christians think. He's talking about then. He's talking about at a particular point in time when you reach and you know. You know as you are known, and it's a progression. It's not going to happen once.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah?
It does.
Because people think that the moment you leave your body, finally, now I know all things. That's not how it is. That the level of knowledge that you have here on earth, from a spiritual perspective, will determine the grade that you begin at. This is so important. Okay?
Yeah.
I want to touch two more things and then we'll close.
Okay.
Psalms 24 verse 7 to 9.
Psalms 24 verse 7 to 9. It says, "Lift up your heads, all ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Okay. So that scripture is saying, lift up your heads, all you gates.
Yeah.
All ye everlasting
doors.
And it says, so the King
of glory shall come in.
Now, this scripture is referring to the point when Jesus resurrected. Okay?
Mm.
And I want you to understand that from a spiritual perspective, there are gates.
Okay.
That when a person leaves the body, okay?
Mm.
You don't just, there are entrances.
Mm.
Just like when Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. There's a reason there are gates. They're plural. They're many.
Okay.
And when an unbeliever dies, he goes through
one of those gates
that determine the damnation.
Okay.
I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying.
So everyone has their appointed destination.
Yes. Now you're getting it. Now the reason why for Jesus all the gates lifted up is because he had achieved all righteousness concerning every single one of them.
Okay.
Because while for the non-believer, the damnation is a particular place.
Mm.
For the believer, all the gates refer to areas of reward and fulfillment.
Okay.
And Jesus fulfilled all righteousness, the Bible says. Okay. So all the gates are lifted up.
Okay.
It says, lift up your heads, all you gates, all you everlasting doors.
Yeah.
So in the spirit world, there are entrances.
Yeah.
This is so important that there are entrances and levels. And as you progress in God, there are gates that are open to you. Now, this is so important, what I'm telling you.
Wow.
Okay? Now, that's why later when there's a new heaven and new earth, it says the new Jerusalem is set, and that new Jerusalem has 12 gates.
Yes.
Okay? That new Jerusalem is not the one now.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's the one that will come when there's a new heaven.
And a new earth.
And a new earth. It's a new Jerusalem that will have 12 gates. Those gates, the foundation stones are the tribes of Israel, and the gates are named as the names of the apostles, according to scripture. Now, even those gates, they are there for a reason. They're not for decoration.
Wow.
This is why I'm trying to tell you that you will leave this earth. You will, based on your level of your relationship with God, find yourself at a certain realm. And that realm, to access it, will have a gate.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
Just like from the, you know, that all these things that we use on this earth are a replica of something in the spirit.
Yes.
And I told you, just as you need a visa to go to the US, don't just think anyone who dies can go anywhere.
Okay.
There's access that is granted based on glory, honor given to a man. Now, you say in Christ Jesus, all things have been given to you. I want you to understand this. It says we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It says heavenly places, not the heavenly place.
Okay.
So there are multiple realms, and each realm, Christ is seated, and we are all seated in those heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
Okay.
Each realm, when you leave this earth, is a realm of progression. And I'll show it to you. I'll show it to you. I'll prove it to you through scripture.
Okay.
Okay? So, quickly. I've told you that the non-believer also passes through gates. Okay? That will determine his damnation. Except for him, the gate that he goes through, because they're not rewards, he doesn't need to progress to it. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
This is damnation. It has been set before the foundations.
Okay.
It has been set for him based on how he lived on earth.
Okay.
So he finds himself somewhere. It's the reason why some people, when they die, they'll fall down a tunnel and find themselves somewhere. The gates are all different. Some will find themselves in fire burning. Others in absolute desolate. Because there are different dimensions of hell. And hell in itself is not just it's not the destination. We know the destination is
lake of fire.
For the non-believer.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's the lake of fire. It's not hell. Okay? So right now, in the dimension that they call hell, there are various places with various gates and entries into those places. And those places have different people based on how they lived on earth. In the heavenlies as well, based on your rank and your walk with God, there are entry points, each to a different realm. And you see, you will know, you will see it, that just because you are born a Christian, and just because you said, in the name of Jesus, just before you died, does not mean you'll be able to access every other realm. You will have to grow and progress.
Okay.
I think we've talked. Okay. We're going to wind that up for today.
Yeah. I think I'll reserve my questions for our next session. But it's been a very beautiful discussion. A lot to learn. And a lot has been learned indeed. We thank you guys for those that are tuning in. This is the RDM Radio Show with Derek Muhirwa, also known as Derek the Priest. And you've been listening to the Rabbi Daniel Malinga. So if you have comments or questions, please send them through. We shall definitely address them. And other than that, the Lord bless you and enjoy your time.
My heart, it beats for you, precious Jesus.